Do you have that testimony today? That even though the world would scoff, and even though the world would mock, and even though the world would say that he's just a legend and he never existed, do you have that hope that Jesus lives? And is he real to you?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Jesus Christ, Legend or Legendary, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Christ Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Jesus Christ, Legend or Legendary.
I would ask that you also continue to pray for Dwight Law, who had a hip replacement this past week. Lift him up before the Lord as he recovers. This morning, we're going to go back to the ABCs of the Christian faith. And a message like this, some may think that it's unnecessary. And I myself, you know, would be one that would think a message like this is unnecessary until I started to do some research and find out that there are people who promote the idea that Jesus never existed. They say that he is a legend, much like Hercules, or, you know, the legend of this era or that era. And so we want to, as Christians, we want to be able to stand on a firm foundation. You know, I was meditating on the songs that we sang this morning, and every song says something about Jesus in it. Now, the fact of the matter is, if Jesus didn't exist, you know, what are we singing about? You know, they're just empty words. And so if Christians, first of all, don't know that Jesus existed, and secondly, you can't prove that Jesus existed, then that's going to make your faith a little bit shaky. So this morning, we want to talk about Jesus Christ. Was he a legend or was he legendary? Was he just a myth or was he a historical character that walked across the pages of time? So what I want to do, and we'll do a lot of teaching this morning, and we're going to look into scriptures and examine some things, but we want to take an apologetic approach. And when I say apologetic, see, a lot of times when you deal with people on Christian issues, you have to be able to prove your point without the Bible. And so the first part of my message, we want to look at proving our point without the Bible. And then secondly, we want to go into the scriptures to give further confirmation to this fact that Jesus was a legendary character and not just a legend. Now, I don't have notes this morning, so you probably want to take notes. I've been on the go the last couple days, and I didn't get a chance to sit down and put them together. So you may want to grab a pen and a piece of paper and take notes as we go through the message today. There are people who believe that Jesus Christ was just a myth. And as we start the message today, I want to share with you some of those individuals and some of the statements that they have made. First of all, there was a gentleman by the name of Lewis W. Cole. And this is what he says. And I got this from his website. He is one that has influenced many individuals. He says, "Was Jesus of Nazareth a real person? Today, we cannot give a positive yes or no answer to this question. But after studying the evidence, it becomes highly plausible that as portrayed in the New Testament, Jesus of Nazareth, herein referred to as Jesus, is a myth and nothing more. It is reasonable to speculate, however, that somewhere in the eastern Mediterranean region of the 2,000 or more years ago, a talented young leader appeared preaching what was for those days a radical doctrine. Although he had no way resembled the Jesus of the New Testament, he might have well provided the inspiration for him, i.e. the kernel of truth out of which grew the myth." So here right here is an individual that in the day of technology, people can access this information and he's able to spew his venom in regards to the fact that Jesus was just a myth. And as we think about this idea of Jesus being a myth, There's no question about where that comes from. It comes from none other than Satan in the pit of hell. And the reason that I'm going to say that is you figure, and as we continue to go through this series on Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is, we're going to see that they tried to discredit the resurrection. They tried to discredit the Immaculate Conception. They tried to discredit the fact that he did miracles. They tried to discredit the fact that he is God. So what's one way? What's one fell swoop to just wipe out everything? What's one way? Now, see, now we don't have to bicker back and forth about the resurrection, about the deity of Christ, about his substitutionary. We don't have to bicker about that. Let's just get one direct blow. And what is the one direct blow? The one direct blow is that, well, he never existed. And so if we can prove that, then it knocks all the rest of that stuff right out of the water. As we go on, we see another individual that has promoted that Jesus Christ was not a historical figure, is Bertrand Russell. And he was a 20th century British philosopher. And he says this: historically, it is quite doubtful whether Christ ever existed at all. And if he did, we do not know anything about him. So, you know, here again, a philosopher. And many people are following philosophies. Frank Zindler, an atheist who was also an activist, he says this: it is easier to account for the facts of early Christian history if Jesus were a fiction than if he once were real. So he says that he's just a fiction. Now here goes one that many of us may be familiar with, Bill Maher, who is a TV talk show host. And this is what Bill Maher says. He says it hasn't been proven that Jesus existed. The records we have are all gospels. Gospels are not history. Gospel writers never met Jesus, neither did St. Paul. No one who wrote about Jesus ever met him. So again, this guy, he comes on television every day. And this is what he is saying. There's a YouTube video out, and the YouTube video is the Jesus myth. And it says that there are over 40 well-documented historians who lived either during the period of Jesus' supposed life or soon after, who combined have enough literature to fill a small library. However, many of these historians document the spiritual leader, not one. There is no evidence of any man known as Jesus in the historical record of that period which fits any broad stroke of his supposed biblical life. You would think that a guy who rose from the dead, ascended into heaven for all eyes to see, and performed the wealth of miracles acclaimed to him would have made it in the historical record. It didn't, because Jesus as a person or a Messiah did not exist. So it becomes an issue. It's an issue that Christians have to grapple with. And maybe even in your historical journey, you have doubted at some point in time whether Jesus existed. As we move through the message today, I want to talk about and I want to give evidence to the fact that we as Christians can have a surety and stand on that firm foundation that we have a risen Savior who came and lived and died. I was meditating on this thought. What if Jesus was just a legend? Imagine what the world would be like if God in the person of Jesus Christ had never come to earth. One way of dating history would be completely different, since all of history is divided into things which happened before and after Christ. Have you ever wondered what the calendar would look like if there were no Jesus? There would be no churches. We would have only half a Bible. We wouldn't have heard of the love of a personal God. Think for a moment the worst thing you ever did, the thing that makes you most shameful. Then think of what it would be like if Jesus had not come and you would not be forgiven for your sin. What would that be like? Your guilt would never be gone, and your condemnation would always be hanging over your head. We would be missing a Savior. There would be no talk of forgiveness and reconciliation to God, only laws to be obeyed. Grace would not be a word in our vocabulary. We would not talk about justice and about people getting what they deserve. Rather, we would be talking about them finding the grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Think about it. If Jesus was just a legend, there would be no hope of heaven. What would you say at a funeral of a loved one if Jesus had not come? There would be no hope beyond the grave. You would not talk about heaven, or you would not have any reason to hope in eternal life. The only thing that would happen is we would dissolve into nothingness. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are most men to be pitied. No hope of a returning Savior who would overcome the world and open heaven for us. There would be no hope of hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness." There would be no hope of resurrection, not even one concept. There would be no hope of eternal life, nothing to anticipate except the closing of the lid of a coffin and the coldness of a grave if Jesus were just a legend. I thank God that a couple of weeks ago we sang the song, "He's Real. He's So Real in My Soul Today." Do you have that testimony today that even though the world would scoff and even though the world would mock and even though the world would say that he's just a legend and he never existed, do you have that hope that Jesus lived? And is he real to you? See, it don't make any difference. Bill Maher, Bertrand Russell, Lewis Cole, the video, YouTube video, it makes no difference what they think. The question is he real in your soul today? And I want to say that I know I serve a risen Savior. Amen. It's not Easter, but he's in the world today. And I know that he's living no matter what men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives and he lived. He lives and he lived. Christ Jesus lives today. I don't know about you, but I got up this morning weary-eyed from a late-night flight, and he walked with me. And he talked with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. No question. No question about that. As we move on with the message today, the first thing, and if you take an apologetics course, that you will deal with is the fact that you have to prove a lot of things about Christianity without using the Bible. And so for the next few seconds here, what I want to do is show historical evidence that Jesus Christ actually existed apart from the Word of God. Then we're going to get into the Word of God. There was a church father named Cornelius Tacitus, and he talked about Christ. He lived from 56 to 120. And he said, "Christus," or Christ, "from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty," which was crucifixion, "during the time of Tiberius at the hand of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate." So according to him, now this guy, you know, is not writing in Scripture. This was a record outside of the biblical record, giving evidence of the fact that there was a man named Jesus who was crucified, who did suffer, and that he suffered under the hands of Pontius Pilate. Now, again, no scripture there. Second, there is Cassius Suetonius Tranquillus. These guys have some awesome names. And he wrote this, that banished the Jews from Rome who were continually making disturbances, and then he makes a reference to Christ. He says that there were a group of Jews in Rome who were continually causing an uproar, who continually causing a disturbance, and they were being following their leader, who was Christus, or Jesus Christ. As we go on, outside there was a man named Pliny the Younger. So that automatically means that there was a Pliny the Elder. Got to interject some humor in here, right? All right, but he says this, this Christus, or Christ, was executed during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of Pontius Pilate. So again, outside of the biblical record, we have evidence that Jesus Christ actually existed. And now we have Flavius Josephus. Many of you probably have his volume. It's about that thick. And he was a Jewish historian in the first century. He was not a Christian. Josephus was not a Christian, but he was a Jewish historian. And this is what Josephus writes. He says, now there was at this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at first did not forsake him. For he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him, and the tribe of Christians so named from him are not extinct until this day. And that's a pretty clear record from a historian that this man named Jesus actually lived, that he was a historical individual. And finally, as we look at outside confirmation, we turn to archaeology. And they actually found they call it an ossuary. And what an ossuary was, it was something that actually carried the bones of dead people. And so they found an ossuary in the Holy Land, archaeologists did, and on the side of it was an inscription. And the inscription said, James, the son of Joseph, the brother of Jesus, right? So, I mean, there are two things here. First of all, James, and we know that Jesus had a brother named what? James. We know that Jesus' father was who? Joseph. And here we see the brother of Jesus. So here is archaeological affirmation to the fact that Christ did live and that he existed. So with that said, let's turn to the Word of God. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. See, so up until this point, we have made our point without using the Bible. All right, so you sometimes in apologetics, you got to be able to do that. You got to make your point without using the Bible. Now we go to the scripture. Now let me say this. If you were to take our hermeneutics class, you would find out that there are different types of writing in the Bible. There are what we call narrative, and that's the record of historical event. There's poetry, there's wisdom literature, there's prophecy. There is all type of figures of speech. So there's all different kind of ways that in literary forms that the Bible is written in. Now, one of the literary forms that it's written in is historical record. All right. The Bible is a spiritual book. The Bible is a book that has come from God, but the Bible is also an historical book. We can read the Bible for history. And unlike what Bill Maher said, who the gospel writers never met Jesus, we find something totally to the contrary, that they walked with him for 3 years. They walked by his side for 3 years. They got to know him for 3 years. And so these writers come back, and now they record events of what they saw. And so John, who is writing not only from a spiritual perspective, but he's writing from a historical perspective. Look what he says here. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life with which the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we see four things in this passage right here. The first thing we see is that he heard his voice. John says that we heard his voice. We heard him preaching and teaching on the Mount of Beatitudes. We heard him give sermons. We heard him talk to people along the way. John says twice in here, for emphasis, he said, we have heard his voice. Now, either John is a liar or he actually walked and talked with Christ. Secondly, he says, we have seen his human form and his mighty works. You know, I'm always reminded of this story of the blind man, right? The Pharisees were trying to set Jesus up when he healed the blind man. And then they went to his parents and they said, you know, this guy Jesus, you know, he's doing all these miracles, and, you know, we just have reason to believe that he's saying that he's God and he's not. And so they were looking to trip Jesus up. And so they go to his parents, who knew that he was blind from birth, and they begin to address his parents. And what does his parents say? His parents said, well, you know what? You know, you got to talk to him. You know, that's between. See, you know, if you go back and read the story, his parents didn't want to get in trouble because they knew the Pharisees, you know, were out to get Jesus. And so they figured they would come to the blind man's parents. And if they got his parents, then, you know, they would be in trouble. So what did his parents do? His parents said, well, look, you know, you got to go talk to him. And so they go talk to him. And I love what the blind man says. The blind man, they asked him, you know, tell us about this Jesus. You know, what do you know about him? This and that. And the blind man said this. He said, look, I don't know what you guys are after. He said, I don't know what you guys want. He said, I only know one thing. Once I was blind, and now I see. He said, that's all I know. He said, you could be out here trying to trip him up, and you could be out here trying to find accusation and do this and that, but you know, I only know one thing. For 30-some years, I couldn't see, and now I can. And so here was testimony of the fact that this man named Jesus lived. Because what did John say? John said, we have seen him do mighty acts. We saw him heal the blind. We saw him raise people from the dead. He says here, he had intently contemplated him. He says in verse 1, we have looked upon him. That word looked upon means that we gazed at him. That he was so powerful and he was so mesmerizing that he just held our attention. And we gazed upon him. And then finally, he says here, look, verse 1. Let me read that again. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, look at this, and our hands have handled him. That after he died and rose again, he said, look at the prince in my hands and my feet. John said, we handled him. We touched him. We knew that he was real. We knew that he was a historical figure. And so all these folk that are coming up and trying to tell us that he never existed, John said, we know, because we were there. And so as Christians, we should be able to prove that Jesus existed on two levels. The first level was from the historical record and the archaeological record. And the second level is right from the Word of God. And again, you might want to write this down somewhere, that the Bible is an historical book. As I said before, yes, it is a supernatural book. Yes.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Jesus Christ, Legend or Legendary. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Jesus Christ, Legend or Legendary, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Jesus Christ, Legend or Legendary. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Jesus Christ, Legend or Legendary. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus in Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.